It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Something's in the air, that's for sure. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We've had a few incidents, Pearl, where whether it's athletes and fans, whether it's coaches and fans, or whether it's players and now reporters, columnists, had some interactions that just got a little too close, got a little too intense, and Joel Embiid was one of them. Joel Embiid had an issue with a reporter from the Philadelphia Inquirer over a column that he wrote invoking Embiid's brother who had passed away tragically in a car accident and someone that he's named his son now after, and the name is Arthur. And Embiid confronted him. Yep. It got physical. Embiid may have pushed the guy, shoved the columnist, and now Embiid is being suspended for 3 games by the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, after everything Joel Embiid has done for the city of Philadelphia, which he told us he has done for the city of Philadelphia,
yes.
I think it's interesting that the NBA, when this story broke, you and I weren't really talking about a suspension. It did, for some reason, it didn't enter our thought process.
Well, when a league says they're doing an investigation, that's pretty much white noise to me. I don't expect a lot from league investigations, but this one turned up with a 3-game suspension for Embiid, the former MVP. So to get more on that and some other things going on in the world, let's welcome in our former boss, Spike Eskin.
Hey.
Host of the afternoon show on WIP in Philadelphia, Ike, Spike, and Fritz, and also the host of the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast, Say the Name. Hey, Spike, how you doing?
I'm just wondering what stupid thing you guys are eating today. Is there like a giant jar of like mayonnaise? Or like what's the one today?
Well, a few things. A lot of crow.
Maggie's not eating anything. She's holding space for the 24 pancakes she has to eat in 24 hours, Spike.
Oh, I had heard about that. And I'm like, Perloff, I'm ordering you. I'm ordering EJ. You have to make sure it happens. Do not let her out of this.
Hey, you're not our boss anymore, bud. No, I did actually call Spike because I was like, hey, I got myself into this Waffle House situation. What do you think I should do? And he's like, you should do it, and here's the Waffle House you should go to. Yeah. So thank you for your guidance, as always, Spike. Okay, so you do a podcast about the 76ers. You're one of the most prominent voices in Philadelphia. Joel Embiid get suspended for shoving a columnist. What did you think of that?
So this is not, I guess the first thing is I thought what Marcus wrote, and I guess for full clarity, Marcus works part-time at WIP. His primary job is the Inquirer, but he works at WIP as well. But I thought what he wrote was like way out of line. You know, I don't think he should have written it. They did pull the paragraph that people objected to, I guess, a couple of days after he wrote it, which was about a week and a half ago. Joel had, when he made that comment, Perloff, that you were talking about what he had done for the city of Philadelphia, that was in, that was about Marcus. He mentioned Marcus's name, and that was a day before all of this had happened. So he was obviously upset about it. You know, like, it seems all pretty simple to me. I understand why he was mad. You also can't touch the guy. That's just like, he's at work. You know, he's also, you know, Joel's a 7-foot, 275-pound professional athlete. Marcus is a, I don't know how old he is, 55, 60-year-old, like, columnist. Like, it's not really a fair fight. And when you play it out, I actually think they avoided a huge bullet in that, like, you could very easily say to yourself, Joel pushes him, Marcus pushes him back, Joel swings at him, and our season's over.
Ugh.
Like, that's all it takes, is one push back. I thought the same thing with the Kelsey situation, honestly. So I think we dodged a bullet. It does make me wonder about Joel's, like, I guess I'm answering a question you didn't ask here. There's been so much with him. His fault and not his fault over the 10 years he's been here. I wonder if he is at an anxiety level and the fans are at an anxiety level and the press is at an anxiety level that, like, is point of no return for him, which would be sad. And I hope not. I hope he gets on the court. They're good, and everybody just forgets about it. But that's my biggest worry out of all of this.
When you say that it would be the end of the season, because if Marcus pushed Joel, he'd probably hurt his knee on that because he's so brittle. Is that what you're talking about?
Look at you. I mean, what a sellout fake Sixers fan you are.
I am sorry. Like, Embiid's annoying me, Spike. I got to be honest. Yeah. Like, he just doesn't. Yeah. Because you're way inside on this. Too inside, maybe. Yep. Because we saw him play in the Olympics, and then he's not ready for opening night. That's what the nation sees. What do you answer to his critics who say, like, get out there, dude?
I was pro him playing in the Olympics, and I still am pro playing him in the Olympics. I thought the positives outweighed the negatives going into it, and I still think they do. You know, in hindsight, it's very easy to say that wasn't a good idea. Now that he's missing the first, 10 games of the season, I understand that. But going into it, I guess I would paint it this way, is he's been injured in a lot of starts to seasons because of what have happened to the previous season. He's also come into the season focused on the wrong things, and he's come into the season probably in not the best shape. This year, he came into the season very clearly understanding that he wasn't going to hit the game's threshold for MVP or All-Pro, and that's all out the window. Had a different attitude toward that. He came in 25 pounds lighter. And I think being surrounded by the best players in the world probably had a positive effect on his attitude toward those sorts of things. So it is very easy in hindsight to say that it was the wrong move. I think the Olympics are an important thing. I was happy that he did it. They don't win. We had Jay Wright on the show the other day, who's very involved with USA basketball, and he made a very clear point. If Joel is not in the Serbia game, yep, they lose the Serbia game, and the USA doesn't win the gold medal. And if we want to say the Sixers season is more important, that's fine. But I could understand the athlete having a different view on that. All that said, I understand where you're coming from, and that speaks to the thing that I said right beforehand. I understand all of that frustration. And I think regardless of what decisions he made or didn't make, I think his body may have put us in with that same feeling overall at this point in his career. Like all of these injuries were building to a place that whether he had played in the Olympics or not, his knee is now always going to be an issue moving forward. Like every season we're going to hear about it. And that didn't happen because of anything he did wrong. That just happened because his body has failed him in a lot of ways. So I understand where you're coming from, though I'm not sure we would have been in a very different situation otherwise.
We're talking to Spike Eskin, WIP in the afternoons, Philadelphia. Spike, is Marcus Hayes the columnist? Is he a hot taker? Even I don't know exactly where he comes from. I know Kevin Durant's mad at Stephen A. We all know who Stephen A is. Is this on purpose? Did he write that column to evoke this kind of confrontation? Or is he a well-respected columnist who generally doesn't write things like this?
Both. I can't speak to Marcus's motivation of why he wrote what he wrote, but I would say this is not the first time that a Philadelphia athlete has wanted to attack Marcus Hayes. There was a thing last year with A.J. Brown where they had to have a conversation between the two of them because A.J. was so mad at Marcus Hayes. There was a thing with Brian Westbrook 20 years ago with the Philadelphia Eagles with Marcus Hayes. This is not new for Marcus. Again, does not excuse Joel. What Joel did was wrong, but Marcus has a way of, I would say that the thing that I like about Marcus is that oftentimes he will say something that everybody knows and nobody will say. And I think that is one of his greatest assets, is that he is not afraid to say things that are hovering and are bad and that people might react negatively to because they are true. I think that's the good thing about Marcus. I think that occasionally Marcus falls into a trap like this one where he is more biting than he needs to be to say what he wants to say. I think he could have written the entire Joel article, which was incredibly critical, but also very fair, without saying, hey, you're disappointing your 2-year-old son who's named after your brother who died. That just seems like it's over the line to me. But I think Marcus has good ideas and writes good columns, but he does have a tendency to stray into an area that upsets people.
Spike Eskin's joining us for another minute or two, and yet, I didn't even hear about the A.J. Brown thing, so you're wondering, could this have been handled in-house a better way, where two guys, if you know somebody's upset, could you have gotten them in a room together before it happened in front of the entire press corps in a locker room? Well, and obviously now it's a suspension.
Well, yeah, that's an easy yes. And and like I and with all due respect to the Sixers PR department and communications department, you saw how angry Joel was at Marcus on Friday. You saw Joel in the locker room before the players, or you saw Joel in the locker room before the press came in there. He didn't play. It's not like you couldn't have talked to him beforehand.
Right.
And you saw Marcus walking in. And there was a report somewhere that they had thought about doing what you exactly said. Like, what got in the way of that? Like, why? If you put them in a separate room, Joel can scream his lungs out, and Marcus can take it without having it happen in front of all of the press and the other players and those sorts of things. And then they walk away, and Joel got it off his chest, and Marcus isn't embarrassed by the entire thing.
Oh, and Spike, but, the other part that, too, this, you know, is the self-inflicted, and sorry to jump on you, but this is the other self-inflicted things about the 76ers that drive people nuts. You could also just be a little more honest about his knee. You know, or be a little more honest about his injuries, because it just feels like you don't do him any favors when it's like, well, he's out for the beginning of the season. Why? It's like, well, just trust us. So, you know, it's like, that's at least how it comes off nationally. But wait a minute, we only have another minute or two with you, Spike. I want to ask you about Jason Kelce, because Kelce is obviously, you know, might have a statue in Philadelphia one day, and I'm not joking about that. I know he's so beloved there, and the incident with the cell phone and the young, it looked like a student from Penn State, who said an extremely derogatory thing about Travis Kelce, and Jason takes the phone and just Gronk spikes it right into the pavement, and then he apologized for it, Kelce did, for using that language. I'm curious how that went over in Philadelphia, considering what a hero Jason Kelce is there.
Yeah, everybody supported Kelce. A lot of the fans have done the same thing with Joel, and they're like, the reaction is, well, yeah, it serves him right. I mean, Jason Kelce was also one swing from a student away from disaster. You know, that kid, he grabs the kid's phone, he smashes it, the kid swings at him, he swings back, or God forbid the kid have a weapon of some sort.
Right.
And we're talking about an entire different conversation. I think the thing with Jason is, and he's a WIP employee now too, but the thing with Jason is he's always been very everyman, very just hangs out. You will just see him at the bar. I don't think Jason totally knows how famous he is right now. And like, that's why he wants to walk through a crowd like that without somebody, a security person or something like that. But Jason's one of the most famous ex-athletes in the world, and he has to protect himself and his family from things like that. And I'm glad that what happened was the only thing that happened with Jason, because I think that could have gone a lot worse. Not excusing what the kid said to him, obviously.
Most importantly, Spike, do you miss us?
I miss you very much. I miss you very much. I don't miss getting to work at 5:30 or whatever the hell it was, or driving into New York City. Yeah. But you, the show personally, as people, I miss you very much.
Yeah, we're shocked. With the over-under of you firing Jack Fritz off your show, he's already way surpassed it by months. This is crazy.
Well, I've tried to fire him twice, and the listeners voted against it. So I'm going to keep on trying.
Yeah, are you
democracy
in power?
At work. Apropos. Spike, we got to go. We got a vat of chili on the burner here that Perloff has to eat with no hands again. So we went back to the well. No.
Oh, is that really happening?
Well, you know, to be honest, can I be honest with you? Okay. Spike was always a big proponent of us doing ridiculous things, which we always appreciated having you as a boss for that reason. The tuna fish jello with the green olives, like, that changed me in a way that might be pretty permanent.
Yeah. Well, you're eventually going to. That was your version of pushing Marcus Hayes. It was like when the world said, have gone too far, have gone too far. I understand.
I flew way too close to the sun with that one. And I just, I had to sit by myself for a while. Like, I felt like I defiled my own body. I needed some time for that one.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Spike, the best. Thanks for doing this. Have a great show today.
Right. Yeah.
Listen to
Thank
Spike,
you.
WIP. Afternoons, Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Yeah.
And the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast.
Yeah. Wow. I'm just looking up. I had forgotten there was an AJ Brown incident. So that's interesting perspective on this whole Joel Embiid thing. Obviously, Marcus Hayes knows how to push buttons. Again, I agree with Spike. All that being said, like, as a professional, Joel Embiid, to me, cannot push the guy.
No, you can't push them. But again, I don't know how much I trust the people even who are around Embiid. Again, he's an adult. He should not have done it. But you can't get them in a room together with the columnists and have them hash it out in a way that even if they don't ever speak to each other or like each other, where it doesn't happen so publicly, because then he's not suspended.
I hear you. It feels like Monday morning quarterback, because normally this would, even if they argued, normally it wouldn't result in pushing. I mean, there have been other instances where athletes have pushed media members.
Yeah.
But this is like, this is a former MVP. That he's pretty high profile, even in the, I understand what you're saying. You're right, but that doesn't excuse anything.
Yeah, I guess just because it did happen with the Eagles. Like, I didn't even know that that happened between A.J. Brown and Hayes. But the other part is, I think it was also a message to the rest of the NBA. Like, listen.
Yeah, yeah.
Faith in the media might be at an all-time low right now or what have you. People are going to write things. People are going to try to tweet things. Like we just saw with Trayvon Diggs, remember? And that never came to blows. But Trayvon Diggs comes flying out of the locker room to tell a reporter that what he tweeted was wrong. So it doesn't even have to be a column guys to get upset.
It's funny that we've had like four incidents this month. Like Joel Embiid is embattled already. Like you got to remember, like he's in a negative space. Trayvon Diggs is a very negative space because the Cowboys keep losing too. And the one, but we don't talk about as much, was the Nets went after this, verbally went after this kid for calling Ben Simmons trash. I mean, Ben Simmons is a, like, losing begets this kind of conflict. Like you don't see the Lions who have one loss or the undefeated Chiefs getting in fights with reporters. So there's always like more context to it. Like if Embiid isn't, I thought Spike put it well. There's a lot of anxiety here. Like this is not going well. He may never deliver on the promise of such a great player. And you could see, I think that's why he's frustrated, not just because of what the guy wrote.
Well, definitely. And I think Embiid was actually being truthful when he said, I've done so much for the city. And we are in such a, especially the NBA, it's such a ring chasing. If you haven't won, unless you're Charles Barkley, like one of the great 50 greatest players of all time, and even Barkley gets clowned about it all the time. It's like inexcusable to not win. And so when he's talking about, well, I've come back from injuries early. My eyesight was compromised because I came back early. He thinks he has sacrificed. He's playing on a hurt knee. Like, I get where he's coming from, but the fans do not want to hear it. And Philly, I think, is one of those cities where it's just extremely black and white. It's the NBA. Yeah. Have you won? Have you not won? Ask Jason Tatum about that and Jaylen Brown. They've been going through that for years till they finally won. And I think Philly is unforgiving.
A lot of pressure. But I do think Trayvon Diggs was also incredible. I think there's so much pressure to win in Dallas. I don't think that was a one-off. I think that is getting to the Cowboys player. Like losing in these high-pressure situations makes athletes, well, it's good in a way. Like they want to win. I'm sure all those players want to be great. I'm sure they want to win desperately.
Can I make one quick comment on Embiid? Because I feel like this is a thing where I feel like messaging is very important. Mm. Because I feel like after that, and you know, me and Manny following closely as Knicks fans, following that series, I feel like Sixer fans were excited that, like, not excited. I think they felt satisfied that Embiid gave it his all. It was very clear he was hurt. It was very clear he wasn't 100%. And he tried his best. It didn't work out. But, like, it was what it was. It feels like the attitude that he's kind of presented, this, like, well, I've done so much. How much more do you want? How much more do you want from me? That has really changed kind of everything in a short amount of time. I wonder if these players who don't understand that, like, at the end of the day, like, these fans are people who don't make $300 million.
Right.
They're kind of, you know, usually kind of, they're the average folk, right? So when you have a player who's making all this money, who they supported through injuries, now saying, hey, like, get off my back, I think that just changed the whole landscape. I think people look at him differently.
Well, yeah, right. I think people would say, listen, I'll say whatever you want about me. If I was making your money, I wouldn't care, right? I think that's part of it. I also think that there was another thing about Embiid. He played on that knee. Maxey emerged.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree that people were happy that Embiid gutted his way through that Knicks series. There's so much frustration that we can't get this guy healthy in the playoffs. Well, I felt like that frustration overwhelmed the positive vibes.
I get that. I think there was frustration that he wasn't healthy. I just thought that they felt like, you know what, he went out there and gave it his all. Like, there was no attitude of, like, he didn't leave it on the floor.
Wait, sorry, about the Kelsey thing, though, about Jason Kelsey. So, obviously, he apologized for using the bad language out. The fan used it towards him. That's what got him so incensed. And then he said, who's the bleep now? Who's the bleep now? He said, I met hate with hate, right? Shouldn't have used the language back to him. But Spike was just talking to us. Spike Eskin was just on with us from WIP. And he said maybe Jason Kelsey doesn't realize how famous he was. And that's not going to be just all out love all the time everywhere you go. You're famous. You're going to get love and hate and trolls and whatever. Do you think Kelce now, is he actually going to change the behavior? We've broached this, but...
Well, I don't think ESPN is going to send him in on the crowd as well. Yeah, I do think he's going
to be. He could go to one of Travis's playoff games and be shirtless like he was at the Bills. He wasn't there for ESPN.
I mean, honestly, I think NFL is a little safer than college. I've seen crazy things around college stadiums. I mean, some like, I tell you, look at this, really look at the signs around an SEC game. They are like really dirty.
I think that's also because I think famous people at NFL games sit in luxury suites.
No, I think the NFL crowd is way bougier than the college crowd. The college crowd is hammered. I mean, NFL crowds are too, but...
You been to a Browns game?
Yeah, I know, but like you have to pay a lot for those tickets. Like, there's a lot... At college, too, but no, I think college is a little more unhinged. I mean, I've been up to Penn State games. There's just a lot of people. There's a lot of alcohol. I just think there's something more dangerous around colleges. I mean, like, maybe I'm wrong about that, but I can't really see that happening at a Giants-Eagles game even.
Do you want to put that as a poll question? Where do you think, where do you think, who's got a crazier crowd?
I mean, Baton Rouge on a Saturday night?
That's going to be a landslide. We got to figure out a better way to put that. 855-212-4227, college versus the NFL is kind of what we're going for there. Okay, coming up, shocker. People aren't happy with Jerry Jones. But does he deserve it this time? We'll dive into that next.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff Show. Talking about fan interactions. Joel Embiid suspended 3 games by the NBA for shoving a columnist. Jason Kelce not suspended. The report is coming from ESPN, but in my opinion, clearly forced to apologize on Monday Night Football. Yeah. No doubt about that.
Perloff was like, who wrote that apology? I think he did the right thing. Did you notice? I don't think he apologized for smashing the guy's phone.
No, he apologized for his language.
Yeah.
You're right. I think he would probably do that again. Here's a question. You brought it up when we had Spike Eskin on, our former boss, in the last segment. Do you think that Jason Kelce will be out in the crowd doing this some more? You know, now that you mentioned it, he didn't apologize for smashing the phone, so maybe he will. But I do not want to see him hit somebody because he is... Based on the fact that the tush push doesn't work anymore since he left, he must be the strongest dude in the history of the world.
Yeah, he might be. I also think that maybe he had a close call, and maybe that's just the wake-up call you need. Like, hey, the next time this happens and someone says something to me, I'm just going to have to keep walking. Maybe he feels like I can control myself enough.
But if
and maybe that guy caught him in a bad moment.
But if he's drinking beer, which is he does openly and very enjoyably to watch him drink beer, then maybe he won't have that sort of ability to hold back.
I feel like we talked about this when he went to the Bills game and he was shirtless at the Bills game and climbing out of the window. And I was like, and everyone loved it. And I did not like it. Because I thought he was...
You didn't like him because he was rooting for the Chiefs.
Well, but he was in the parking lot tailgating with all the Bills fans. Mm-hmm. And you know what that does? Like, you know, that can kind of tick you off a little bit if you're a Bills... But, you know, to be honest, like, I think the Bills fans were super hospitable. So all's well that ends well. But I think he's going to keep doing it, guys. I think maybe he feels like he learned his lesson. Like, all right, I can't get, you know, carried away. And the next time this happens, I'm going to be way more prepared to deal with it. Because it's his brand. If he's just going to be another suit sitting up there on an ESPN set, then he's one of a million.
No, I know. You're right. That doesn't do anything for me, having Jason Kelce on the set.
He's so uncomfortable in the suit. By the way, guys, hands on the desk. Everyone, hands on the desk.
I got to tell you, Kelce, though, is losing some weight.
We can see him, dude.
Kelce is going to be like a male model by the time this is done. He gets more... Oh, this is so weird. He gets a little more handsome every week. Like, he's losing weight, and he's kind of, I don't know, he's getting a little touch-up from his wife, Maggie. I fear that he's not going to be a man of the people by the time this is all over.
A GQ model.
He was one of the people's sexiest man alive. Five finalists.
But isn't that the appeal? Like, because he might maybe be in a magazine, but he looks like a regular guy.
I know, but if you watch him closely, he's kind of dressing up a little bit. I think he's risking his everyman status.
But he still looks like Nick Offerman, where he can, like, build me something and fix this, and he has all, you know, he's like this aging steak.
For now. We saw Joe Thomas used to be a 310-pound lineman. He looks like he weighs less than me now.
Let's not go crazy.
Nico last week didn't know what GQ was.
Oh, no.
So, Manny, you do know GQ.
Yeah, of course. The magazine.
Yeah.
I just
wasn't sure. You know, we know magazines are kind of going out of style. So
that one is wild. And he was not kidding either.
No,
and I kind of get it.
Someone paid him a compliment. They said, you got GQ looks today. And he's like, thanks. I'm like, oh, you don't know.
Oh, that's tough.
That's all right. Where was I going with that? Bogish headlines. Hi.
Hi. They're sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, your furry friends with Life Electronic Device and Pet Health Insurance.
Don't look at me, please.
When there's no NFL or NBA game the night before, you can take hockey requests.
McKinnon leads it for Ivan below the goal. Out in front, Kovalenko. Backhander. Same mate, Grubauer. Rebound, score! Career.
Avalanche Radio does not disappoint. If you're new to this, there is a hockey player on Colorado. His name is Ivan. His latest goal, part of a 6-3 Colorado win over Seattle. Nathan McKinnon had 5 assists, but maybe most importantly for the Avs, stud defenseman Cale Makar left early last night with an undisclosed injury.
You know, I meant to go back to watch Hunt for Red October, and I haven't done it yet.
Yeah, me too. I'm very interested in what this crazy Ivan move is. By the way, Liam McHugh had a call on this. Was this game awesome, national or something? I have other sound where he started singing Louie Louie after Ivan scored.
Okay.
And I thought, so this, I think Ivan's becoming a national sensation. I think we started it. We were the first person to talk about this guy.
All right. Well, that's for you. I'm a gentleman, so I wouldn't show up without something for my Margaret, who loves herself a hockey fight.
Greenway just flattens Tim Stutzla.
Wait, that's a real name?
Kachuk says, we're not having that. Drotten. Gloves are dropped.
These are two very, very big guys. Greenway is monstrous, 6'6", 230, and Brady Kachuk goes right at him.
Oh,
Kachuk comes over the top with two rights, and that stings Greenway.
Oh, did it ever, Dean.
There's throwing him again here over the top. Nobody landing one. Greenway's trying to get cocked and ready to throw one. He wants, and now they're going to break up.
The guys on Senators Radio scored that one in favor of Ottawa captain Brady Kachuk over Buffalo winger Jordan Greenway, but his Sabres got the win last night, 5-1. So, yay, Buffalo.
Those guys weren't even excited.
No.
And it was a good fight. And
you
it was
would
a
have
long
never known.
Fight.
Yeah, I like the smash cut you had in there, the flash forward. That's how long it was.
That
the
was
edit.
Sabres Radio?
That was Senators Radio.
Oh, I apologize.
I was going to say, I need a little bit more. I've got an idea. We've been talking about fan and player interaction and maybe fans being a little angsty at times and all these things that are going on.
Can I just say right now, this sounds like a bad idea. It's about to come out.
I didn't even say it yet.
No, I know, but go ahead.
How about this? Let's take a page from hockey. And I'm being serious here, but you're very scared.
This is a promoting violence take from you?
Just hold on. It's not about promoting it. It's about channeling it in a way that maybe can be conducive to everybody.
Because I played club floor hockey at Fordham and there was no fighting. You're a gentleman.
How about this? Trial basis. In a really hostile crowd, say it's Georgia, Texas, or it's Florida, Georgia,
right,
or whatever.
Yeah.
You pick two people out of the crowd on opposite sides. And they represent everybody on both sides in the arena. And after the game is over, in a sanctioned way, with a referee and all of that, those two people get to fight.
I got to save this.
Mortal Kombat, yeah. The hockey edition?
I'm serious. It's like you channel everything. You're mad. Yankee fans, Dodger fans, Giants fans, whatever. Let's make it. Don't do all your separate fights in the parking lot.
Painting me like an angry person.
Everybody. I'm looking at you, Manny. No, you're fine. You knew they were going to lose. But I'm just saying it's like Gladiator a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like you pick somebody out of the crowd. You kind of size them up, get the weight classes right. And then they fight with a referee. Until one guy gets taken down.
Sorry, I'm missing the connection. What does this have to do with fans fighting players?
Well, I'm just saying maybe this gets the angst out for everybody.
Got
it's like
it.
You channel it into an everyman.
This is perfect for the hot take pinata.
Yeah. Do we get to see him more than on Halloween?
We might have to.
Manny's got the bat.
We got the bat today.
Yeah, thanks for having
the
bat today.
So you're going to like Game of Thrones, like where you can pick one champion to fight instead of like... I told you the story of the soccer game where they had to put 50 armed guards in front of each because the fan bases were just all out brawled
after the
game.
They're bloodthirsty, so let's just give us a little of
what
we want.
Let's sacrifice people.
But I think...
you volunteer.
But in all seriousness, though, I'm not sure that hits the issue of guys following athletes around with a cell phone trying to troll them.
Maybe it does, though. Maybe if you're just like, well, so a fan from Penn State gets to fight a fan from Ohio State after the game.
And what happens when your Penn State fan wins? All Penn State fans can be jerks? I don't like.
No, no. It's like, all right, you got a little moral victory after actually losing to Ohio State.
Yeah, but the actual football game doesn't calm them down. So why would this fight calm them down?
I don't know. He's like walking away with a parting gift. You know?
Leaving here with something.
Exactly.
Again, though, this is you asking for violence. You want kids run over on cord storming?
I do. It's every man for himself out there. Kyle Filipowski, throw bows, whatever. No, I'm just kidding. But I think,
do you need to punch somebody?
Maybe. I think you got to. The treadmill's not working anymore. Anyway, it's just something I was noodling on.
So, okay, I just want to be clear about what we're saying here. We're saying
I need to see something bloody.
Yeah, yeah. So we're saying that we should have fans from opposing teams beat each other to a bloody pulp after the game.
No, just yeah. With a referee there. So once you get the takedown down mm-hmm. to the ground, then it's over. So no, you're not getting beaten to a bloody pulp because there's an actual like referee.
It kind of reminds me of that recently when a Ravens fan went out after the game, went running around trying to punch out Commanders fans or something like that.
No, yeah, but that wasn't two people. That wasn't
sanctioned. You're saying having
that was a guy headhunting.
So you're saying though, it sounds like that's closer to the spirit of this sort of violence. You're saying because there are referees there, we're going to sanction the violence. So
and
that's
also, it'd be two people volunteering. That guy, the Ravens, was horrible. He was walking around to unsuspecting people and hit him in the head. There's nothing sportsmanlike about
controlled violence. Okay,
exactly.
Okay. But how does that help with the guy following Jason Kelce with
it
the phone?
It doesn't, which is why I'm confused as to why you're spending so much time logically thinking about this.
I think if you know afterwards, everyone's a little too, it might not ever solve the Kelce thing, but it might solve fan fights. We see some terrible ones. We see some ones with really bad outcomes.
Violence to solve violence.
Exactly.
Grr. Preemptive violence.
Think about it.
I'm Maggie Gray. Approve this ad.
Should I do this as my sports minute? Yeah. Can this go out all over the country?
How many Odyssey coins would you want for something like that? I got 30 burning a hole in my pocket if you want them.
You know what Odyssey would do to me if I did this as a sports minute? It'd be like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air when Uncle Phil throws DJ Jazzy Jeff like out of the house.
would sweet Billy Jacalone even raise an objection to Maggie's pro-violent sports minute?
He's supposed to be fact-checking these things. I don't know how that would work.
The Jacalone content filter.
Listen, I'm just spitballing here, right? Yeah. I'm trying to be solution-based.
Those are the solutions we need right now.
As I suspected, very bad idea. But you know what's cracking me up? Like, Jason Kelce, if I was a flip phone, I wish I could bring you guys in a time machine to, I don't know, 9 years ago when groups of Philly fans are throwing batteries at players. Like, there's way more violent things that have happened in the history of sports and fans. Like, you guys weren't there for the Malice of the Palace. Like, as Chuck Klosterman once said, it was like, at that point, it felt like every NBA game was going to be an all-out brawl between the fans and the players. Like,
wait, were you there? I was watching it at a couch in college. Just like, what are we watching right now?
No, I wasn't there, but I just remember, like, it used to be, like, I just think we're with cell phones, we see everything and we blow everything out of proportion. That is there's always been this violence. And you know what? This fan fighting, like you're right, we've seen some
terrible
bad fights.
Ones.
And that's why I now endorse this Maggie
Thank
Gray solution.
You. Way to turn around.
That never happens from Perloff.
Yeah. I'll take your bandwagoning this
But
time.
I just can't imagine, like, who's going to come up to Philly and fight the Philly fan?
It's a Cowboy fan who's already in the stands.
Yeah, but then even if the Cowboy fan wins, then everybody's going to jump on him and just like, it's not going to be, they're not going to be able to contain it. They're not going to be able to contain it. It's going to be too hostile. Would it be funny if this actually happened?
I'm telling you, if Spike now does the afternoon shows at Philly and WIP, if he was still the program director there, they might give this one a shot.
Oh my God. I drove to Philly a few years ago in a rental car with a New Jersey plate. No, a New York plate. And, pulled up to the link and they said, you can't do that. I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, you can't park with a New York plate here. Everyone's going to destroy your car during the game. Like, it is a violent, horrible place. And your little official fight is not going to solve any of this.
They're going to fight to be able to be in your fight.
Ah, like early rounds.
Yeah.
Prelims.
an undercard.
Heats. Now we need a committee. Guys, this is a million-dollar idea we're sitting on.
Or we just have, we hire two random policemen to just wail on random fans in the stands once a game, just to send a message. Florida Georgia style.
By the way, do we have any update on that investigation? Wow. Why?
Why? And it's almost like people don't even care about that one.
I believe they said yesterday that they were within their rights the way they acted.
Yeah, they're out of trouble.
They tased the guy, too.
Right.
One of them got tased, and like everyone in the crowd's like, yeah. I mean, they must have really been acting out.
There was two different incidents.
Yeah.
Now, if they'd had
two different guys, they'd had
Maggie's system, none of that would have happened.
Exactly. They would have waited for the sanctioned fight afterwards.
Hey.
If they got through their heat.
Guys, only one can be left standing. Girl, you got it. I didn't think about women.
Two men enter.
Now, the women fighting, it can't happen because I'm just be like, take off your top. This is not what it's about.
So you're going to
fall over the
game. What's it about?
It's about
But here's the thing. Like,
fighting.
Are people going to care less about the actual game? Just wait till the Thunderdome event afterwards?
Listen, if it's and a blowout, maybe.
We might as well just, like, if we're going to go for it, we might as well just have the, you know, only you kill the second person.
Let's go back to no shirts. That feels more calming and soothing.
She did say it all serious. It's like, you know, like Gladiator. Yeah. Gladiator is like symbolic of the Roman Empire decline, and now you're promoting Gladiator.
You got to talk to somebody.
I just meant in the lottery system, maybe in the way that we pick the two combatants.
No, you very, very specifically explained the Gladiator system.
Well,
you're like, we're going
to
pick two fans and have them fight. Well, yeah, but Gladiators also fought each other.
Yeah.
And you're kind of implying, like, you know what? Let's sacrifice these two people.
That's why Mills Lane's going to be there.
What
Sorry,
kind of cycle do we have?
I just had the same image of Maggie in the crowd with a thumbs up or thumbs down. He dies. Joaquin Phoenix in Gladiator style.
I would never make that kind of declaration. I'd let him fight for it.
You actually said, you know, Gladiator style.
First place is the winner. Second place, death. No, I'm not doing that. I'm trying to.
You're considering it.
I'm, again, spitballing.
I can be swayed.
Spitballing here. There's no bad ideas.
I've heard one.
Except for the one I just gave you for the last 7 minutes. Well, we're flat out of time for updates.
That's okay. Nothing happened.
Coming up at the top of the hour, it's Wednesday, so we're going to do great debate today, ripped from the headlines. Coming up, would you be shocked if this person got fired? And I hope we're not talking about me right now after what I was just saying. We can keep that one between us. Maggie Perloff. I don't know how, but this is somehow a send-up for Ivan.
Yeah, Liam McHugh, our buddy at Peacock, for some reason, I believe, had this game too and started singing Louie Louie after Ivan.
Hmm.
Close enough.
Sure.
It's not the worst I've ever heard. I mean, Ivan scores. It's exciting. People do strange things.
People start talking about songs that don't have anything to do with him.
I just think this is crazy that there's a guy named Ivan. And he's good. And they have a great tagline for him from the movie Hunt for Red October. This is the best thing going on in sports.
We do love it. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. All right, let's play a little game here called Would You Be Shocked? EJ is going to name a NFL head coach, and we'll tell you whether or not we'd be shocked if they were fired. Now, we've already seen two head coaches get it. Robert Saleh was fired, and Dennis Allen was fired. We also saw the entire offensive coaching staff, basically, from the Las Vegas Raiders were also fired. So, it's firing season, I guess. EJ, give us a name.
Okay, let's begin with Matt Eberflus. Chicago Bears head coach. Would you be shocked if he was fired?
I'd be beyond shocked. Because they got to make the playoffs. They're 4-4. They're in it. They play New England this week. If they win this game, like, if you fire Eberflus, first of all, who's your coach? And second of all, they're just not that bad. Like, why would you fire a 500 coach on a team that hasn't been in the playoffs in a while?
I would not be shocked by this. Eberflus already, I think, was on borrowed time coming into the season. And they're getting, well, Caleb seems to not be getting better. He seems to be regressing. And also, that Hail Mary hangover, I think, is a real thing. You had DJ.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
More walking off the field in the middle of a play. And even he and Eberflus have gotten into it a little bit, and they just gave DJ Moore a big contract, so you have to think he's got a little bit of power. I think Eberflus is as good as gone. It's just a matter of when.
Wait, so if they're at 5-4, they win this week, then you would imagine he's going to play out the season, right? Like who's coaching? Shane Waldron? He's terrible.
Who's their special teams coach?
Maybe they lose this game, something happens, but if they win this game, like they really like. There's no talk about firing coaches. Like, how do we get to the playoffs? That's the only conversation. You fire your coach when you're 2-6 or 1-7. You don't fire your coach when you're 4-4.
Robert Saleh wasn't 2-6.
Yeah, but the Jets are a disaster of a train wreck. And even so, they were still they have Aaron Rodgers, a quarterback, and had a losing record. That is not this team. This is the Bears, who had the number 9 pick last year and the number 1 pick. Like, they're young. They set the table when they brought Eberflus back. Like, why change direction now? Like, this mistake was made in the offseason. I don't think they corrected midseason.
I wouldn't be shocked. Who's next, EJ?
All right, let's go to the Big D. Let's go to Mike McCarthy. Would you be shocked that he gets fired?
In season, totally shocked, because Jerry doesn't like to pay people not to work. And they kept Jason Garrett after they'd basically hired McCarthy, just, I think, to get to the final day of his contract. I mean, they really...
They kept Jason Garrett for an entire decade after he was done. Yeah.
That too. But I like right up to the bitter end. And yeah. I do not think that McCarthy is going to get fired in season. And I think Jerry kind of likes it that after the game, there's somebody else to shoulder the blame with.
Get your damn act together.
I think what we should really be talking about is Mike McCarthy back next season, which sounds insane, but welcome to the Cowboys. I mean... Honestly, I heard someone say this the other day. When they gave up 48 points or whatever, the Packers, I think everyone assumed McCarthy was gone.
Definitely.
And then he just brought him back. So I'd be shocked if he did it midseason.
All right, here's one that's a little interesting. What about Kevin Stefanski, head coach of the Browns? Were you shocked that he gets fired?
That'd be, to me, the dumbest and craziest firing in 30 years of NFL history. Like, why would you fire Kevin Stefanski? For what?
Okay.
Like, what is there to gain by firing that dude?
Those are all relevant and normal questions you would ask. But you just said the same thing about the Jets. They fired Robert Saleh, maybe prematurely, because they're a bad franchise. The Browns are the Jets on steroids in cases like this. They cycle through head coaches just as often as
the
Jets
do. Yeah, when they're 1-17, I mean, like, yes, they first of all, not really. They let Hugh Jackson put together the worst 2-year run in the NFL history because they kept him around after a 1-win season.
Yeah, and then they elevated Freddie Kitchens later. Like, they don't know what they're doing. They wouldn't know a good coach if it bit him in the butt.
This is a franchise that has 2 Coach of the Year awards in the last 6 years.
First of all, Coach of the Year in the NBA doesn't mean jack. Those guys get fired all the time after they win Coach of the Year, which is silly. But I think Stefanski is, I would not be shocked, not because of Stefanski, because I think the Browns are the biggest wild card organization where it's like the Jets. They make bad decisions.
Well, I don't know. They have a really highly esteemed front office with Andrew Berry. I don't know if Sashi Brown's still there. Like they have a lot of like big professional people there. I'd be
And
very
how's it
surprised.
Going?
Well, last year they made the playoffs. This year they had injuries. I mean, a lot of injuries. And not just like Myles Garrett is on 2 bad feet. Nick Chubb got hurt again. Deshaun Watson got hurt. Like,
and how's Deshaun going?
Injured.
They had to get rid of Joe Flacco because Deshaun Watson couldn't have him over his shoulder. Things aren't going well.
I mean, honestly, true. But has that guy been anywhere near healthy?
No, he hasn't. But it's, again... I think bad organizations do stupid things.
Yeah, you guys, you said yesterday that you think Stefanski wears the Deshaun Watson disaster.
I just see it.
I mean, Deshaun Watson's played 8 games or something. Like, why would that be on Stefanski? I'm not sure I see it that way.
Or maybe it's on the front office.
Well, whatever. It doesn't matter because you're bringing in a new quarterback. Who do you want to coach that guy? I think they're going to want Stefanski because he's a very good offensive coach.
I think they might look back and say, man, we basically won our 1 playoff game with Kevin Stefanski while he was at home in the basement.
No, I don't think they view him that way at all. Not even
Well,
for
they
a second.
Shouldn't, but I'm just saying
I've never heard them say anything like negative. Like Salah was embattled by the time he got fired. In fact, I think people were surprised it took that long.
Well, he could have been fired before the year. All right, so there you go. Would you be shocked? The Eberflus one, I think, is very interesting because if it's a vibe situation, which is kind of hard to put your finger on, if they can't turn the page off of that fail Mary, and then they go to Arizona where the crowd apparently was extremely pro-Bear, and they no-showed.
But they're not a very good team. And they
is Arizona?
Arizona can run the ball. There's no doubt about it. I mean, James Conner is just a beast right now. So, yeah, they're okay.
Coming up next, it's Wednesday, which means we do the great debate ripped from the headlines. Get to that next.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.